I'm Kate Remington, and I'm talking with Michael Salvatori. He's co-written the scores for 5 Halo games, 2 Myth games, and most recently, the scores for Bungie Studios' new game, Destiny, and the expansion, The Taken King. And Mike, it's really wonderful to have a chance to talk with you about this.
Thanks, Kate. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, what's so unusual about, it sounds unusual to me, about the way that you wrote, co-wrote the music for Destiny was that there really wasn't much of a game there for you to get ideas about. From what I understand, there was a little concept art and maybe some story ideas, and then there you were, you and the team had to create all this music.
Well, early in the process, on Destiny especially, we had a lot of ideas about what we thought the game was going to be, but you know, it's one of those things when you're working on a massive game like that, you don't really know what you have until you get really deep into it, and certain things tend to rise to the top, other things sort of fall away. But music-wise, from the music standpoint, I remember I got a call from Marty O'Donnell, who was at Bungie at the time, and he said we're working on some musical ideas here, and I agreed to join and come on in and work with him on those. I think the thing I liked about it was the fact that we were thinking, well, we can make this sound any way we want. We can, you know, what's the world? We were sort of trying to help give the world some kind of an identity. And somewhere in the middle of that process, we actually found out that Paul McCartney was interested in working with us on some stuff. So we kind of shifted gears and got him involved and started working some of his ideas into some of the tunes we were working on. That was way back in the early days. I think I'm going back to 2011 there. You know, and we didn't release Destiny until 2014, so we had quite a bit of run-up time on the music.
And lots of time to kind of rethink things and tinker with them. And it must have been a really thrilling experience to all of a sudden be able to start from scratch, because you've written the music for the Halo games and they had their own distinct sound world, and here you were having a chance to do something completely different.
Oh yeah, it was a challenge. One of the things back in the Halo days that I kind of missed was that, you know, if you were maybe not coming up with anything necessarily like great or new or anything like that, you could always like go back through your old Halo ideas and dust one off and give it a new spin. You know, there was such a historical sort of lineage to the game that you could always go back and say, hey, you know what, I think I want to revise this piece and do an updated version, and you know, that kind of thing. Well, with Destiny, we didn't have that. We were starting completely from scratch. So it was exciting. It was a little scary, but it was also very exciting. And try to come up with a musical identity for the game that really said Destiny. And interestingly enough, I mean, we had the same people working on it that worked on the Halo game. So occasionally we get a little comment from a fan here or there. It says, oh, it sounds like Halo. And I'm like, well,
good.
Yeah, I mean, it came from the same blender. You're probably going to get that occasionally, you know.
Well, and that's fine, because it's always good for composers to have a really unique identity. And Destiny, the music in Destiny and The Taken King certainly does have that. And I know that you made a conscious decision not to have music that was, you know, very themey, you know, specific themes for all of the different classes of enemies and that kind of thing. And yet, there are some really identifiable themes, because in Destiny, it's really a battle between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. And so the themes kind of keep popping up in various contexts, which I think is really interesting.
Well, thank you. I like thinking of it that way, because those concepts, you know, good versus evil, you know, light versus darkness, however you want to look at it, I mean, those go back to the dawn of time. So there's something very timeless about that, about sort of telling that story, you know, about the last vestiges of humanity trying to fight against the dark forces that are trying to, you know, all that stuff. It's like, yeah, that's... I love writing for that kind of stuff, because it's such a sort of timeless human story. So in a way, even as we were first starting to build this, I mean, there are certain types of things that we knew we were going to need, and we wanted to make sure that we included them in the types of music that we were coming up with. And as far as the themes go, yeah, we didn't go with the sort of, you know, this is the theme of this particular race, or this is the theme of this one. There's two other composers here, C. Paul Johnson and Sky Lewin, who, when we're working together, and, you know, we're always sitting around. At least once a week, we get together and play each other our ideas, and we comment on them and help each other out and and things like that. And one of my phrases I always say is, I'm like, yeah, I think this piece is going to work, but it needs a little more Destiny gravy. It needs a little something in it that tells the world that this is Destiny, even if they're not playing the game and they hear the piece, you know. And that's, so I'm sort of the guardian of the Destiny gravy.
Guardian, yeah, which is great because that's the character that we play as, the guardian of the light. Was it a real surprise when you finally saw the game with your music in it?
A surprise. Let me think about that.
Well, how did seeing the music in your game, did it really seem like a good fit? Or when the game was still in alpha, were you able to kind of tinker with it and
say, oh, sure, yeah. I did see that, and there are times when this might not be the answer you're expecting, but there are times when you start to watch it and you realize, oh my gosh, I totally missed the mark on this one. It's not working. I mean, I'm just being honest here. I mean, that does happen. But when it does work, and when it gets put in there and you actually get to see it in action and it's working the way you were hoping that it would, it's pretty thrilling, you know. So you know, it, as musicians, I know I'm speaking for myself, but I'm also speaking for many, you know, other musicians out there. You know, it's like we're only as good as the last piece we wrote. So if we write something that isn't good or doesn't work or something like that, that ends up not getting used, it's kind of depressing, and you have to kind of pull yourself up and get on to the next one and keep doing it. But when it works, it's glorious. It's a wonderful time. Just like when you go in the studio and you say have a piece of music that you've been working on for months using MIDI, and then you suddenly get to hear it played by a real orchestra, and you hear that first time through and you hear it, there's no moment like that. I live for those moments. That's fun.
Well, I was going to ask you about the musicians who bring this incredible music to life, because, you know, in the early days when you were writing the soundtracks to Myth and even, I think, maybe the first Halo game, you were using synth instruments, and now you've got this incredible orchestra.
Yes, it's nice having money.
From what I understand, there's an orchestra in the Pacific Northwest that really records a lot of game scores. Is that the orchestra that you use?
Yes, we used them mostly on Taken King and on some of the original Destiny music. Also, some of the original Destiny music was recorded in London with members. You know, it was not just the London Symphony, but it was several members from the London Symphony, and we recorded it at Abbey Road. So there's a few different things that we've done. We've actually, so far, I'm thinking we've actually recorded Destiny music at three different places now. But the Northwest Sinfonia is a group of musicians up here in the Northwest area that they play on all kinds of projects, a lot of game work, because there are many, many game companies up here. And we use them. We've been using them since, I think, Halo 2, if I'm not mistaken. I'm you know, that goes way back. And you're correct, by the way, Halo 1, there was some live stuff on there, but there was also a lot of synth stuff. Because, again, back in the day, back in those days, we didn't have much of a budget, and we didn't know. A lot of people don't remember this or might not think of this, but when we were first working on Halo, the very first Halo game, we had no idea it was going to be the success it was.
And I understand once it became so successful, you had all kinds of musicians wanting to jump on board, rock
sure.
guitarists
no,
and all.
Yes, we started getting phone calls, and those were fun days. But when we were actually recording it, we didn't know it was just another game we were working on. You know, we had done Myth 2, we had done Oni, we had done Subterica, we'd done a bunch of games, some of which probably some people haven't even heard of. Subterica is a good example of that, and Halo was like, it was cool, it seemed like a great thing, but you never know. And so once it came out and it was very, obviously it was spectacularly well received, but we didn't build that game or record the score of that game on any kind of a, you know, budget like you would expect today. So the Halo 1 soundtrack is maybe a little bit thin on the live musicians, but we fixed that then on the next one.
A theme that, a characteristic sound that kind of carries through all of the music that you've co-written for Bungie's games is the incredible percussion. It's just amazing. And now with the Taken King, it's like a percussion section on steroids. I was just listening to Ancient Walls again, and it's just it's so dramatic and so tense. And so, from what I understand, you in particular are the drum guy on the team.
Well, I used to be. This is funny you would mention that, because for a lot of the Halo stuff I was, and even for some of the early Destiny stuff, I tended to be the more percussion-y guy. But one of the guys who we've worked with for a while, he worked on the Destiny 1 soundtrack, but he was an outside vendor at the time. His name was Sky Lewin. He's a drummer. And so he came in, and he actually came in here full-time to work with us on Taken King, and he brought his drum kit with him and a bunch of his weird drums and all that stuff. He's a real drummer. He's not just like a drummer in his mind like I am. Once Sky got here, and I saw how talented he was and how much deeper he could go with the different types of percussion. He is like the new drum guy now. So what happens is sometimes I'll do drums on a piece. I'll send the piece down to him and say, hey, could you spice this up a little bit with some percussion or something like that? And of course, he always blows me away with what he does. I love it. So he's fun to work with.
Does he actually perform on the recordings then too?
Oh, sure.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. His percussion tracks are very prevalent throughout the Taken King. It's mixed with stuff that I did or C. Paul did also, but still, if you hear something that particularly sounds pretty amazing percussion-wise, I'm sure he had his hand in it.
One of the things that I wanted to talk with you about, because this is an aspect of composing that's unique to games, is music for combat, because there are really good players who can blow through a bunch of enemies in no time and not hear much of the music. But since I'm not that good and I die a lot, I get to hear a lot of your music during the combat sequences. And so I'm wondering how you know when you've really nailed a good piece of combat music that's like infinitely expandable for however long it might take people to get rid of the bad guys.
Well, that's a tough call, because there is a point where you can overstay your welcome, and it's not, we don't do this as a punishment to the player, but there is a point where if you've stayed in something too long, the music does time out. We feel like it's just the right thing to do. We don't want any piece to carry on longer than it should. So yeah, you build a piece, you want to be able to get through a battle, and you want the player to feel like it's scored. So first you build a piece of music that you like, that would stand on its own even if it wasn't in a game. That's always like the first thing that we always test things by. But then once we have that, you kind of deconstruct it, and you try to maybe nail it down in maybe three types of sections, maybe a more anticipatory section, maybe a more light action section, and then once you're heavy into it, then we shift into the heavier action section, all on the same piece. Once you get to the heavy action, we don't really like to go backwards. So once you're in heavy action, you're in heavy action. Hopefully you at that point are, in a position to succeed and move on and everything and kill the boss or whatever you're doing. If you get stuck there for too long, the music will eventually just, like, the musicians get tired and they go home.
there's a really interesting part of right down in the beginning of the game. There's a at this point ancient, because Destiny is set in the very far future, but an ancient Russian radio transmitter, and in the background, very kind of broken up and scratchy sounding, is Tchaikovsky Symphony Number 6. And I mentioned that to a conductor recently who was performing that piece, and he thought that was really cool. But what I'm wondering is, do you think about, whether your music will be around for, hundreds of years from now as a kind of a relic of this really kind of golden age of games?
Wow, that's a good question. I have no idea. I'd like to think that what we do has a life bigger than just the game it's in, and occasionally certain pieces pop out and become more popular than others. That's just the way it seems to work. It's interesting you would ask that, because just yesterday I listened to the soundtrack from Halo 5. Now, we haven't worked on a Halo game since 2010, so Halo 4 came out, we had nothing to do with that soundtrack, and now Halo 5 has come out. And I put on the first piece, and it's a revision of the original Halo theme that Marty and I wrote back in, I think it was 1999. So where is it now? We're 16 years later, and there's that piece. There's the monks chanting. There's the strings chunking away, and there's the percussion. And I thought, I know that piece. And by the way, the new composer is working on Halo 5. Did a wonderful job. It's very well done. I was happy to hear the old melody, but with a little bit of a different twist that he did. So, when you ask, does the piece have a life beyond that? There's a good example of one that definitely does. Now, I think there are some pieces from Destiny, especially some of the real thematic stuff, that I think will carry on. I think they'll have a life beyond that. It's hard to say exactly how that's going to play out, but you don't know. You put stuff out there, and you never know how people are going to accept it.
What's interesting is because there are so many really identifiable themes now for Destiny, it's easy to imagine that people will take them and use them as influence. And now you've got, Bungie's got plans far in the future for the world of Destiny too. So I would imagine you'll be recycling a lot of those themes too in different ways for each of the expansions.
I think so.
Yeah.
That's the, especially the certain ones are the gravy. And we do, we try to sort of keep that in mind as we're writing new stuff. I love introducing new themes and yet still weaving in little bits of old ones too. It ties the game together, and I like that. Another little barometer that we get is obviously there are a lot of fans out there who love to do covers of some of the music that we do. And so we can kind of tell which pieces are more popular by how many covers there are on YouTube. And we do listen to that stuff, by the way. We sit around, we look it up, and we hear it, we listen to it. Some of them are okay, and some of them are actually really nice. When fans are so moved by a piece of music that they want to do a cover of it, and I'm talking about people who will take some of the themes and then, rework them into their own style, which I really like, or just a lot of different types of covers. We love listening to that stuff because that makes us feel connected to the fans and the people who play the game.
Well, Mike, it has been so much fun talking with you, and I really appreciate you taking the time to get us, give us a little bit of a glimpse of what it's like to be a game composer, and I really appreciate your time.
Well, thanks, Kate. It was very nice talking to you.